the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to go to chapter 16. Glory to God. Let me just see a show of hands, if the Lord touched you in some way for our Resurrection Day service. If you got touched on our Resurrection Day service, do me a favor and stand up for just a minute. How many know that God's in the business of touching people?
Hallelujah.
Amen? Look at how many lives were touched and changed. Maybe next week, you guys could share some testimonies of how the Lord touched you on Resurrection Day. All right? So we'll call some of you up next week. I'll give you time to think about it. All right? So we want to hear some testimonies of how the Lord touched you, especially on Resurrection Day. Okay? And Mark chapter 16, and we'll start with verse 15. And Jesus appeared, he appeared to them. Do you realize when he appeared, he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart? Well, let's just go to verse 14 for just a minute. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, or they were having eating, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Don't be a hard-hearted person or a person of unbelief. Be a believer. Verse 15, and he said, go into where? All the world, and do what? Preach the gospel. To who? Say, I'm supposed to go. I'm supposed to proclaim. To everyone I encounter. And how do you proclaim? You proclaim with words and what you do. All right? You proclaim with words and how you live. Okay? And go down to verse 17. These signs shall follow them that what? Who are the signs going to follow? Believers. Do signs follow doubters?
No.
Come on, you can talk to me, amen? I won't talk back. In my name, they shall cast out devils. How many know that's a miracle? Say, I can cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. That's great. You can speak in other languages. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. He sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth. How many know that you got to put into action what God said? And preached everywhere. You mean they preached in Walmart? Absolutely. They preached in the coffee shop? Absolutely. They preached in the square? Absolutely. They preached in homes? Absolutely. It said everywhere. Did he mean everywhere? You know, preaching is not just reserved for one place. It's supposed to go on everywhere. And the Lord working with them. How many know that God's working with us? Aren't you glad that he's working with you, not against you? Confirming the word with signs following. God confirms his word. And wherever his word is going, God is confirming. God never does anything apart from his word. Why? He created the worlds with his word. His word is the final authority on every matter. God does, where his word goes, he confirms with signs. What's a sign? It's an indication. It's a mark. to indicate or to show or to signify. In other words, a sign points to something. In our case, a sign points to someone. I don't care what sign occurs, if it doesn't point to Jesus, it wasn't from God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Did you know the devil can do signs? How many have ever heard stories on the news of statues crying? Well, if that doesn't point to Jesus, then God is not in the tears of that statue. There, you know, the devil can do some things. I mean, when Moses threw down his staff and turned into a serpent, so did the Egyptian magicians. But when it's a God sign, he swallows up the signs of the devil. Amen?
Yes.
You can't compare the devil and God.
Amen.
The devil's not even in the door. He's not even in the league.
Amen.
He's not on the same page.
Right.
So we're talking about miracles, signs, and wonders. God is interested in doing signs. I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost is the best marketing agent you could ever have. And he does things to point to God and to point to his power. Let's go over to the book of Acts. They did a lot of miracles in Acts, didn't they? Did you know the last chapter is still being written?
Amen.
Acts 29. You're living it.
Yes.
Say, I'm living.
Acts 29.
And, Stephen, he did miracles as a waiter. What was his primary job? In Acts 6, he was waiting on tables. There was a group of women who were complaining because they weren't getting their needs met, and the apostles needed to have some men of wisdom, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of power. Listen, if you want to help Miss Dottie in the kitchen, you better be full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom and got some power. Because while people are eating their lunch, miracles can happen.
Hallelujah.
Stephen performed miracles as a waiter. He's like one of those, you know, you ever been to a place where they cook right next to you? Or you're seeing, you know, that sometimes they do tricks with the knives, they flip it up and everywhere. Well, I mean, the Holy Ghost was performing miracles right there. Listen, why do we have to wait for a miracle? Oh, well, I'll go have so-and-so pray for me. Why not now? Who does the miracles anyway? Is it the person or is it the Holy Ghost? Listen, the Holy Ghost can... Oh, should I say it? Let me tell you, if God has to use a donkey, he can use a donkey. How many know Balaam, there wasn't anybody else but a donkey. So guess what? The Holy Ghost got on that donkey, and that donkey began to speak words. God will use what's ever available. Why wait for a miracle? Why not now? Say that with me. Say, why not now? Acts chapter 4. And let's go down to verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. The world was talking. The officials were telling them not to preach in the name of Jesus, especially about the resurrection. So, and grant unto your servants that with how much boldness? All boldness they may what? What happens when you speak the word? God confirms his what? His word. So if you want a miracle, you got to speak God's word boldly.
Hallelujah.
Fearlessly. Unashamedly. You can't be like, man, what are people going to think? You just lost your miracle. Because you're worried about what people think. What do they think? What's a person going to think if they end up in hell? Now, I will say this. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not a bully. The Holy Spirit makes offers. Come and have eternal life. He doesn't force the person to come, but he gives them the opportunity. Amen. And the Holy Ghost, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force his way on people. So, you know, you got to minister with God's heart. Amen. And so they prayed that God would cause them to speak the word of God boldly. And then verse 30, by stretching forth your hand to what? Heal, and that what? Signs and wonders may be done by who? By the name of Jesus. So not only do you have to speak the word, you got to know how to use the name of Jesus. Is there any greater name than the name of Jesus? I mean, you could go into a busy restaurant and you could go up to strangers and you could talk about Buddha. You could talk about Hare Krishna or whatever you want, and they're not going to pay much attention to you. But if you mention one name, you're going to cause them to be a little uneasy. You're going to cause them to be on alert. And if you mention the name of Jesus, because there's something about that name. There's no name greater. Every name is under the name of Jesus. And when you name the name of Jesus, there's power and authority behind that name. So we should not be afraid of the name of Jesus. And then look at verse 31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken. How long after they prayed was the place shaken? How many times do you have to pray for God to hear you? Once? Say, God's not deaf. But the question is, ask yourself this, did I pray in faith or did I pray in fear? What's God going to hear? He's going to hear faith. If he hears fear, he's going to have to deal with your fear before he can answer your prayer. Come on. So, when they had prayed, the place was shaken. That's a miracle, isn't it? Do houses normally shake? And they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to what? Speak the word with boldness. So a sign of people being filled is they're going to start talking about the word in a bold manner. Amen? Now, weren't these the same group that was on the day of Pentecost? Didn't this group include the people on the day of Pentecost? You mean God can fill you again? God can fill you as many times as you need it. You can't get to the point where you're so full of God. Oh, I'm so full of God, I can't have any more. No, you can have more. Maybe you're not to the point of being intoxicated by God yet. Sometimes God wants to intoxicate you. We all know what that means, doesn't it? Don't we? Okay? And go down to verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Isn't the resurrection the word? When you're talking about the resurrection, you're talking about the word, aren't you? And great grace was upon who? How many want great grace today? Listen, God's got so much grace, it doesn't have to reside on one person. It can be on us all. What is God's grace? It's his ability. It's his power. It causes you to do things that are impossible. Amen? Now, I want to help you today to get in the flow. Now, we talked about the Sunday before Resurrection Day. We said that there's a miracle in your hands, right? They come by speaking the word, by prayer, through worship, through having a position of humility, and through by faith, right? Those are five things that will cause you to have an atmosphere where miracles and signs and wonders can flow. Amen? But I want to share with you some things today that's going to help you flow in the flow. Amen? You want to get in the flow of miracles, signs, and wonders? You know, you want to be available for God where you show up and something happens. Maybe just because you showed up, devils get nervous and they start to scream. That just means you're there to cast them out. The devil has just identified himself and it says, you're going out now. See, because sometimes the devil likes to hide. You don't know where he's hiding. But when they make themselves known, buddy, you've been found, you're going out. So we want to get in the flow. These seven things are going to help you get in the flow. You know, let me give them to you because we might not get to them all today, but I'm going to give them to you. Number one, you got to have meditation. It's through meditation that you process the word that causes you to become skillful in the word. Okay? And then your meditation will lead to saturation. How many has ever seen a dry sponge? But, you know, it's brittle, it's hard, and if you throw that thing, you could hurt someone. But what happens when you get that thing next to water? That sponge begins to absorb that water, and all of a sudden now it becomes pliable. You can get it into the corners where before you couldn't get it into the corners, but because it's been saturated, you can get it into places where it couldn't go before. So meditation leads to saturation. Number three, then you're going to receive a revelation. How many know that a revelation can cause a revolution? A revelation is simply God showing you something that you could do or that you could have or that you could say or that could happen that you didn't know before. Okay? Number four, once you get a revelation, you're going to have to get into observation, and you're going to have to look at that revelation so that you can walk it out. Amen? And then number five, once you go through that, then you're going to have the declaration. You're going to begin to say things with authority and power. And then once you have the declaration, there's going to come about a manifestation. And then after the manifestation, the last thing is there's going to be a demonstration. How many's ever been to the grocery store and you've seen those people with special products? They set up a little booth, right? And they demonstrate how the product works. And they show you how it works because they want you to buy into it. How many know that the Holy Ghost, he loves to demonstrate how God works because he wants you to buy into it? Mm-mm-mm. So let's get into these today. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Hallelujah. See, meditation is thought, consideration, reflection, contemplation, deliberation. It means you concentrate on one thing in order to develop it. Okay? So in meditation, you know, God may speak to you something, or you may read something, or you may hear something that touches your heart. Well, then the process of meditation means you go over that and over that and over that. See, meditation is like digestion. What digestion is to your intestines, meditation is to your spirit. It helps you process God's word. Okay? So Joshua 1:8. Joshua was now in a new position. He couldn't rely on the past because God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise. Some of you, you can't rely on the past. I don't care what God did before. He may want to do it in a different way now. Amen? Listen, not everybody got filled with the Spirit by laying on of hands. When Peter was preaching at Cornelius' house, the Holy Spirit just decided to join the congregation. He came down and fell on everybody. So, how many know that God's got a lot of ways of accomplishing His will? Would you agree? God's not limited to one way or one method of doing things. And in Joshua 1:8, God instructs Joshua and he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Listen, if you want God to work with you, you're going to have to be a spokesman for the word. You're going to have to speak the word. You're going to have to get accustomed to speaking the word more than complaining. Uh-oh. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. How did it get in his mouth in the first place? Through meditation. But you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you shall make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Let me ask you a question. Do you think taking an entire city is good success? Well, you know, Joshua, he had the book of the law, which was at that time the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's all that they had. How come we got so many more books and we're doing less? Uh-oh. How come they did more with less and we're doing less with more? What are we missing? Maybe we need to meditate more. Let's reverse this verse. Okay, you want to be prosperous and successful. How many want to be prosperous and successful? Okay. Then you've got to observe to do according to all that is written. You've got to observe to do. If you want to find out what God wants, you've got to look. And then you've got to do it. Then you've got to meditate in it day and night. Then you've got to speak it out of your mouth. And when you do that, you will have good success and you will be prosperous. Meditation. It's a process. It's how your spirit digests the bread of life. When you take a bite of, I'm gonna be healthy today. When you take a bite of broccoli, I was gonna say pizza or fried chicken, but I'm going with broccoli today. When you take a bite of broccoli, does it automatically become a part of you? You've got to chew it, right? And while you're chewing it, your mouth is salivating. You might have been salivating before you started chewing. Some of you are salivating right now about after this service. Then you swallow it. Did you know if you stand on your head, your body's still going to swallow it? What's it called? Peristalsis. Your body will automatically, once it receives chewed food, your body takes that in. And it goes into the stomach. Then, what is it? The large intestine, then the small intestine. Then it gets broken down. And that which is not needed is put away, but then your body takes what's good. It sucks up the nutrients and it loads it up on your cells and it sends it through your bloodstream so that your body can be strengthened and energized. Oh my goodness, when you take God's word and you hear it, the minute you hear it, that's simply the seed being planted in your heart. But then you got to give time sometimes for that seed to grow. Many Christians, they're trying to reap miracles having planted a miracle seed a week ago. Now, I said earlier that miracles are now. Yes, but sometimes your faith has to get to that now point. We've all done it. We've stepped out, not having a good foundation, believing God for this or that, but it didn't come to pass because we didn't allow the process to take its place. We didn't allow the process to work of meditation. How often was Joshua to meditate in the Word? Day and night. Everybody say day and night. He didn't tell Joshua, meditate on the Word on Sundays. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah, I meditated on the Word. I showed up for church on Sunday. No. It's going to take every day. See, and I already knew. Okay. Meditate. Meditation is the first step for getting you into the flow. Listen, God wants you to walk with Him. God wants you to have a lifestyle, right? You're not supposed to be a flash in the pan. God didn't make you a lightning rod. When, you know, because lightning doesn't strike often. But when it does, that lightning rod is ready. God made you to walk in His Word every day, in every area of life. You're supposed to practice God's Word. Walk by faith, not by sight. Walk with God. Walk with God, one step at a time, one step at a time. What are you doing? I'm walking with God. And when people see how you walk, they'll see how you live. We're not supposed to be flashing the pans. We're supposed to endure. If you're going to run a marathon, you can't sprint the whole marathon. I've never run a marathon, and I'm never going to run a marathon. I have no desire to run a marathon. Praise God for the people that do. I'm not one of them. They got to pace themselves because they got 26 miles to go. If they sprint the whole 26 miles, they're going to expend all their energy and they're not going to have enough to finish. There was a study done by Bobby Clinton. He looked at all the leaders in the Word of God. And he studied their lives. He studied how they finished. And only a less than a third finished well out of 1,000. And he said there was about 100 leaders that we have a lot of information about from the beginning of their life to the end. How do you finish well? You're serving God at the end of your life. You've accomplished God's will. You've done what He's told you to do. And at the end of your life, you've left a legacy. That's finishing well. A lot of people start off good, but they don't finish good. It's not how you start, but it's how you finish. And you got to pace yourself, right? You got to pace yourself. You got to walk with God. You got to meditate. Meditate. Meditate on His precepts. You've got to be fully engaged with God. You've got to be in tune with God. How many know if you've got a radio that's not in tune with the station, you can't hear what the station's saying? Well, how come, God, I didn't hear it? Because you weren't tuned in. Listen, God's got an emergency broadcast system called the Holy Spirit Network. And there's no such thing as a drop call. There's no such thing as a loss of internet connection on the Holy Ghost network. It is the most reliable, sound network you will ever encounter. And God's always speaking and God's always talking. The problem is we're not always listening. For whatever reason. Woo! Number two, meditation will lead to saturation. You want to be so full of the Word of God that you want to be like the Pillsbury Doughboy. When the devil pokes you in the belly, you're going to speak the word out of your mouth. I say that because when I was in first grade, my costume was the Pillsbury Doughboy. See, I didn't grow. I grew 3 inches after I graduated high school. I'm a late bloomer. But in my younger days, I was a short, chunky little boy. And let me tell you, I made a good Pillsbury Doughboy. But you got to be so full. When a sponge is saturated with water and you touch it, what comes out? Because why? It's so full. It's saturated. The word saturation, it means fullness to capacity. I like that word. It means overload. It means maximum absorption. How many want maximum absorption of the Word of God and of the Holy Ghost? Lord, give me maximum absorption. Be careful. He might knock you on your back and you might be out for hours or days. Maximum absorption. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And look at verses 22 and 23. And he has put all things under his feet. How many things are under his feet? And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the what? The fullness of him that fills all in all. As God's body. How many know that God's body, God doesn't want a weak body? So he fills us all in all. He fills you over here. Listen, he can reach the back row. He can reach wherever you are. You're not out of God's range for getting doused by the Holy Ghost. He fills his body. We're God's body. He fills us all in all. He said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be what? Filled. So if you want to be filled, all you got to do is be hungry. What do you got to hunger for? You got to hunger for righteousness, for what's right, not what's wrong, what's right. Listen, the world has programmed people to hunger for what's wrong. That's why they have negative news. I don't care what news network you're on. It's negative. Because quite frankly, we don't have all the facts sometimes, and they steer you in a certain direction. Because they're saturated by demonic influence. We have got to get our news from the Holy Ghost. Didn't he say he'll show you things to come? But we've got to be saturated, filled all in all. Go to chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Isn't that interesting? You can know something that passes knowledge. How did you know that? Revelation. Woo, God showed me. Which passes knowledge, that you might be what? With what? Oh my goodness. Say, I might be filled with all the fullness of God. How do you know someone's full of the fullness of God? Because they walk in love. They walk in love. They do what love does. Listen, if you're not walking in love, your faith is weak. You can tell if someone's walking in love or not. You gotta be full of love, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could what? ask or think. There are times when things get done for Pastor Fiona that she thought of. And every time that happens, I say, I call her my love. I say, my love, think of $1 million. Amen? I mean, something will happen, and she didn't express it, but she said, I just thought about that. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think, so that he wants you full. Say, I have a too much God. Say, he gives me too many blessings. He gives me too much stuff. He's too good to me. And I'm not ashamed of his goodness to me. Hallelujah. You know, oftentimes in preparing messages, you think, you know, you have like a mental picture, but God always changes the mental picture. And he always brings it out in a way that you didn't think you were going to bring it out. Amen? Like, there are some days when you try to teach and be quiet, but you just can't. There are times I've got an evangelist in me, and there are times when he just shows up. And he comes out. And I can't be silent. I can't stand still. I can't have my feet in a wash bin. You know, I've got to move around. Listen, the only time I stood behind the pulpit, well, I guess twice now, but my very first sermon, I was holding on to that pulpit for dear life. Speaking in front of 100 people, and I have no idea where all the moisture in my mouth went to. And then if you've ever logged on to Jesus is Lord Ministries, I stay behind the pulpit there because they have a fixed camera. And if I walk around too much, they'd be like, where did he go? Where did he go? Okay. Now, he'll fill you with his fullness and his power. Verse 21. Well, let's finish verse 20. According to the power that what? Say, there's a power working in me. What power is working in you? It's resurrection power. It's Holy Ghost power. It's the gospel power. Man, you got some power in you. If we've got this power in us, why are we walking around like we're defeated? Verse 21, unto him be glory. Listen, when you're walking in the fullness of God and you're walking in the power of God, it's not about you. You got to give glory to God. Just ask Nebuchadnezzar how it works for taking God's glory. You know what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? He was walking around looking at all his kingdom. He said, look at what I have done. Look at what I have built. Look at who I am. I'm so great. You know what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? He started to grow nails, his hair got long, and he spent some time in the field eating grass. He became a beast. Listen, God's not going to share the glory that's due him with anyone. God uses you as a vessel, all right? You're simply God's vase, or his chalice, or his container. He's put his treasure in an earthen vessel. Amen? But when God uses you, you got to give glory to God. You know, as a pastor, I got to be careful because when I preach a good sermon, people say, oh, Pastor, that was a really good sermon. I got to be careful so it doesn't go to my head. And to think, I'm so great and I'm so awesome. That's why I just say, thank God, praise God, praise God. Amen? And I've practiced that long enough where it's a habit of mine now. I don't, you know. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You got time for one more? One more. Well, go to Colossians 1 for just a minute. Colossians chapter 1. And look at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, who are you in? You're in him, aren't you? So in him dwells what? All the fullness, all right? And then go to chapter 2 and verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ. Are you in Christ? Don't you think he's going to share that with you? Because you're in him? Okay. Go to Luke chapter 2. And this will be our final one that we cover for today. Luke chapter 2. This is revelation. So your meditation will cause you to be saturated. And as you're saturated, God will give you a revelation. When I was in Bible school in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I was sitting in New Testament survey. And it was being taught by Lowell Ledford. And for some reason, we were in Galatians. And all of a sudden, I looked at Galatians 3:29, and it said, if you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, there was something about that verse that God wanted to show me. I didn't get it there, but I wrote next to that, I still have the Bible, Pastor Pishka's ministry, Galatians 3:29. And as I kept that in my heart, as I meditated on that, as I walked it out, as I wrote it down, God began to show me greater things about it. And the more I walked with God, the greater the revelation that he gave me. And now you guys get to benefit. We are inheriting God's promises and experiencing their benefits. And that came from a word that God spoke to me in 1991. How many know that God's word is good from generation to generation? There's no expiration date on God's word. Anytime you need it, it's available to you. Amen? Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Besides, if there was an expiration date, God can change it because he's a miracle worker. Luke chapter 2. And I want you to look at verse 32. This is where Simeon had blessed Jesus. And in verse 32, he said, a light to lighten Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Revelation means God gives you a light and it lightens you. You become illuminated. A revelation is when God's light shines into your heart and he shows you something you didn't know. He shows you something that you didn't even think about. But God just simply pulls back the curtain and he allows you to see a truth. He allows you to see something about what he's telling you. That's a revelation. How many know you need a revelation? It was a revelation given to the Apostle Paul that caused him to write half the New Testament. He did it by revelation. He was caught up into the third heaven. He didn't know if he was in the body or out of the body. And while he was caught up, he began to hear some things that were unspeakable. God began to show him things. How many know that God took Moses up on the mountain and he showed him a revelation of the tabernacle so that he could build one on earth? How many know if you're going to build something, you got to see it? It's called blueprints. Amen? God's got to show you the blueprints in order to put the right dimensions in the right place in the right position. God's got blueprints. He's got a revelation. Your meditation will lead to saturation, which will lead to revelation. One more scripture, Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise. You want a revelation? Rise up. Rise up in prayer. Rise up in worship. Rise up in serving God. Rise up. Find something to put your hand to. Rise up. Arise and what? Shine. Let your good works, in Matthew, what does it say? Talking about Let your good works so shine before men that they glorify your Father in heaven. Say, I'm here to shine. Say, I'm going to shine for God. Now, in order to shine for God, God's need to polish some of you up. You can't shine if you're dull. Isn't that true? You can't reflect if you're covered in dross. When silver is covered in dross, you'd be like, "Ooh, that's ugly. I'm not going to buy that." But you dip that silver in something hot. You put that silver through the fire, and it comes out, and the light hits that silver. You're like, "Oh my, I like that." Arise, shine. Why? For your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen on who? On me. Say, the glory of the Lord is on me. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you, and the Gentiles shall come to your light. They're going to come to your light. They're going to come to your revelation. They're going to come to what God showed you. Let me tell you, John the Baptist didn't have an advertising campaign say, "Come to the River Jordan and get baptized." The man lived in the wilderness. He wore camel's hair and ate locusts. I'm going to have dinner with John. What are we having? Locust pie. We're having shepherd's or locust surprise. Want some locust pancakes? How did a man who was hidden in the wilderness all of a sudden go to a river and start baptizing people, and people came? Because people will come where there's a revelation. You know the scripture that says in Proverbs, "My people perish without a vision"? That word vision is revelation. Without God revealing truth to you, you can't walk in it. Amen? How did Peter know that Jesus was the Christ? Jesus himself said, "My Father which is in heaven showed you this. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father." Peter didn't know. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Peter's like, "Hey, that's pretty good." What? Peter got a revelation. And God used that revelation. With revelation comes keys. Jesus told Peter, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom." See, a revelation is a key that unlocks something hidden. I had a revelation that people need an inheritance. I'm here in Palmyra at Victory Christian Fellowship, and I'm going to go until I see everybody that I encounter walking in their inheritance with God, possessing what is theirs and walking in it. That gets me excited. When people possess what God promised them, when people become who God said they are, that excites me. That motivates me. That's my goal. But you need a revelation. Sometimes it may cost you some time to get a revelation. And a lot of times people don't want to pay the cost. How many know that Moses had to spend 40 days on the mountain? Jesus had to spend 40 days in the wilderness. Elisha had to serve Elijah for however long. Joshua had to serve Moses. But because he was faithful, how many know that God gave him a revelation? He destroyed 33 kings. Kings! God wants to do the same for you. What has God shown you? What has God told you? What are you doing with it? Your revelation ought to motivate you to action. Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God. If you're not born again, what are you doing not being born again? Why haven't you made Jesus your Lord? Because what the world has is a better offer? Are you kidding me? Satan will take you nowhere, and he'll blame you for getting there. God is my healer. Some of you need that revelation. But you haven't gotten it because you haven't meditated enough that he's your healer. It's not a part of you. God's my deliverer. God's my provider. It's a revelation. There were times when God would reveal names that people didn't know. When Joshua was with Moses and they defeated the Amalekites, he had the revelation that God is my banner. When Abraham sacrificed Isaac, he had the revelation that God is my provider. He's my Jehovah Jireh. What do you need today? God will show you. But will you embrace the revelation? Will you spend enough time meditating till you get saturated? How long should I worship God until you feel really good? Come on. Oh, I did my 10 minutes. You know, there might be a day. Now, I'm a big proponent on preaching the word. There might be a day where we just might spend worshiping God. Amen. And I guarantee you that's not a waste. Amen. There are times when we need it. You know, that's another avenue how God saturates you is when you're worship and you're open. In this position, you're saying, Lord, fill me, touch me, heal me, deliver me. Hallelujah. God can do so much when we're in this position. But he can do so little when we take this position. Like you think, you got to prove God. Go ahead, God, make my day. God said, I already did. He already made your day. He doesn't have to do anything else. So, I think we should worship some. Don't you? I think God wants to show some people some things. If we can have the worship team come up, and if we can do, what was it? Let's do the last song, I Exalt Thee. Amen? Can we do that? I know it's spur of the moment, but you guys are working with flexibility. I'm in the ministry, I'm flexible. What does that mean? I'm ready in season and out of season. Hallelujah. That means I'm willing to do and to go wherever I need to be. Amen? And while we're worshiping, if you have a need in your life, if you need God to do a miracle in your life, our God is a miracle worker. These things will help you get in the flow. Maybe you need to know the Lord. Maybe you're struggling with some things. Maybe you've got questions. God's got answers. I mean, he's got answers. God just wants to show you how much he loves you sometimes. And when we invite people up, it's never to embarrass them. It's never to point things out, but it's there to help them. Amen? Amen. And those who come get the help. Those who don't. You want the help? Come and get it. Amen?
I want to share a revelation before we sing.
Yeah, go for it.
There's a revelation that we need about love.
Yes.
And here's the revelation. God is love, right? We all agree. The Bible says God is love. And God who is love, his throne is established on righteousness and judgment.
Yes.
And the revelation about love is this. For some reason, the church has adapted to the mentality of the world system that to love everybody means to let them do whatever. But that's not love. God's love includes justice. That's a big part. That's half. God's love is a just system. So there are people in your life that to love them means to let God's justice work in their life. Yes. And stop interfering with it. We mess up God's work in some people's life because we go in and think that we have to stand there and take all the stuff they're doing, and that means we're standing in love. That's not true. As long as they have an opportunity to disobey God through you, you are an obstacle for them getting justice from God for treating people that way. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
The world says we have to take everything, and that's love. That's a lie. It's not the truth. Because if that was the case, God would have had Adam and Eve just take whatever was happening. You understand? There is a point, as a Christian, love means to stand up for justice.
Yes.
For what is right. And that means that you have to say no to some people and you say yes to some. The people you're saying no to, God needs to show justice on your behalf for. Do you understand what I'm saying? So enough of this babying everybody and letting them just run over you because you're a Christian. That's not God's love. You need to allow God to show you it's time for my justice to work. Amen? Let's worship.